Romans 4, 18 to 21. Now it talks about Abraham. It's a beautiful discourse. Please start from verse 1 when we have time. It's excellent discourse in chapter number 4 of the book of Romans. Now Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope he believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And Abraham, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since the man was about 100 years old, and the deadness of his wife Sarah. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, God was also able to perform. And being fully convinced that what God had promised, God was also able to perform. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's take nuggets from this short discourse here. Now it says, Abraham, in verse number 18, contrary to hope, in hope he believed. Contrary to hope, right? In hope he believed. Now, this is a man who believed against all odds. When everything was humanly impossible, there was no human hope, it was humanly hopeless. Abraham, he believed God. What are we learning? Point number one, faith believes against all odds. It does not matter how things look like. It does not matter how your situation looks like. No matter how hopeless, no matter how absolutely hopeless things are, faith believes. You see, faith does not believe because something is possible. Faith believes because something is humanly, naturally impossible. That's why the word of God says, contrary to hope, the man in hope, he believed God. Because it does not matter, church. Faith does not look at the circumstances. Faith does not look where I am. Faith does not look at what I have. Faith does not look at what is afflicting me. Faith does not look at what my problem is. Faith does not look at the fact that there's no one who can help me. No. Faith believes against all odds. And I love this. That's what I'm asking you to read from verse number 1 of Romans chapter number 4. Because this is a discourse on faith. Not on what we claim to be faith. Right? This is a discourse on faith. There is biblical faith and there is what we claim to be faith. Now here we are looking at biblical faith. The authentic faith. The faith that comes from God. Right? The faith that makes us right with God. The faith by which we are counted righteous. Not by works, by things we have done. No, by believing in God. This is the faith we are talking about. The authentic faith believes against all odds. When there's no hope whatsoever, the faith, the biblical faith, believes in God. Now, contrary to hope, in hope he believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now, he says, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. Right? Now, faith believes the word. Faith believes the promise. The word of God has got the promises, right? Has got the promises of God for us. Now, the authentic biblical faith of God believes the word of God. We cannot be there to believe any other thing that we want to believe and call it faith. No. We are talking about the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all them that believe. Now, this faith of Abraham is the faith that believes the word of God, is the faith that believes in the promise that comes from God. You cannot believe for anything that God has not promised you. You cannot believe for anything that God has not given you. The faith we're talking about, the faith of Abraham, was solely based on what God has said to him. I said the faith of Abraham, who has become the father of all of us that believe, that faith was based solely on what the Lord has promised him. As biblical Christians, as people of biblical faith, our faith believes solely on what God has promised us, on what God has given us through his word. That means every time we go back to the word, we stand on the word. What has the Lord promised us in the word? What does the word of God say about me? What does the word of God say about us? That is the thing on the which we stand. Listen, we're talking about biblical faith, not crazy faith. What is crazy faith? Crazy faith is faith that is not based on the word of God. Now, the faith that is undenied, this is the one. You cannot deny it. What God has promised to his children, when they believe for it, it does not matter what the devil does. It does not matter what the devil says. Right? They cannot be denied because faith cannot be denied. Faith cannot be denied. Nothing can stand against the word of God from operating. Nothing can deny the word of the Lord. Let's look at point number three. Now remember, he says, in hope the men believe. Please, hope has an expectation. So number three is this. Abraham, he believed the word. He believed the promise and he expected God to do it. It's one thing to believe God. It's another thing entirely to believe God and expect God to do it. A lot, many of us Christians, we say that we believe, but we never expect God to do it. Ah, come on. Abraham, he fully expected God to fulfill his word. He fully expected God to fulfill that which he had promised him. Right? Now, this is the faith. Faith believes God and expect him. I say faith believes God and expect him. This is the meaning of that phrase. In hope he believed. There was an expectation. He was waiting for the fulfillment. Now here's the thing. If you believe and you've got no expectation of the fulfillment, that means even if you believe until you die and nothing happens, you didn't expect it to be fulfilled anyway. There was no expectation. That means if God has promised me a vehicle, I'm making an example, right? I will believe God and expect him to deliver the vehicle. Why? Because God promised to deliver the vehicle. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to expect. I will be leaning heavily on God and say, Lord, you promised me. Now, Lord, you must deliver. You have to deliver it. That's expectation. In hope, you believed. It's very important to understand this because this is the faith of Abraham, right? And who has become the father of all of us that believe. But if we believe the way that he believed, and we know that his faith delivered the promises because he had an expectation. Expected God to do it. Expected God to do it. The word of the Lord says, the just shall live by his faith. That means we that believe, we live expecting God to do what God has said to us. Remember, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. So we wait on the word of God to be fulfilled. Why? Because the just. Who is the just? A believer. The just those are people of faith. The just or the righteous are people of faith. Now he says, the people that believe, they shall live by their faith. Now, if the Bible says, for a person that believes, that person shall live by their faith. So that means that person has to take their faith very seriously. The just shall live by their faith. No excuses. So believers cannot give excuses. We believers cannot give excuses. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, that proceeds from the mouth of God. The just shall live by his faith. Not by his money. Not by his connections. Not by his education. You see, this is where we blur the lines. This is where we get things twisted. We go to school in order to make it. But the Bible says the just shall live by his faith. You see that? We change jobs in hopes of better things on the other side. You see? But the word of God says the just shall live by their faith. Faith, it does not matter where I am. It does not matter what I receive, what I have. No. That's why we get ourselves disappointed so many times. We get ourselves discouraged so many times. Because although we are believers, but we are not living by our faith. Because the word of God says, the just shall live by their faith. That means I cannot skip South Africa and go to Canada for better conditions. I can only do that when the Lord has said so. As long as I'm a person of faith, it does not matter where I am in the world. It does not matter where I'm placed in the world, but I shall live by my faith. Even in the desert where there is nothing, I shall live and not die, because the just shall live by their faith. This is the faith of Abraham. And why is the faith of Abraham important? Because it's the prototype. This is the faith that pleases God. In fact, this is the only faith. If only I could have a little money, I would do this. If only I could have a little bit more money, I could do this. But that's not what the Bible says. If only I could have a little money, I could do this. If only I could have a little more money, I could do that. But that's not what the Word of God says. The word of God says, you believe God. You shall live by your faith. You believe God. Oh, glory to God. This is how faith operates. Faith believes the word and expects God to do it. Verse number 19. Now it says, Abraham, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. This man could not make a baby. His reproductive system was already gone at this point. That's why he says he did not consider his own body. His own body was already dead. His reproductive system was not operating anymore. It was not in a condition, in a state to make a baby. That much was a foregone conclusion. And this man did not consider. Now imagine you're 100 years old, your reproductive system is dead, and your wife's reproductive system is dead, and God promises you a child. Am I talking to somebody? The same thing that Pastor KB was talking about on Wednesday. Here's a woman who has done hysterectomy. They remove your womb. And after removing your womb, God comes and says to you, I will give you a baby boy. And God said, no, not adoptive. The one will come from you. Now, this is the kind of faith church we're talking about. This is biblical faith. Not what we call faith, biblical faith. That biblical faith leans on, rests on what God has said. If God has said it, it settles it. I don't want to hear. My reproductive system is dead. My wife's reproductive system is dead. But God has promised that settles it. You might as well start to name the baby. You might as well start to name the baby, yet you don't have a womb. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now it says he did not consider his own body. Now faith does not consider, does not take into account. I say faith does not consider. Listen, this is deliberate. Faith does not consider what I have, what I don't have. Faith does not consider whether or not I'm in a place where there are no opportunities, whether or not I'm in a place where there are no jobs, whether or not I'm in the bundu somewhere, I'm at the back of the mountain. Faith does not consider. People are running to Johannesburg for better conditions. And they come to Joburg and start a church. That's not a church. That's a big spaza shop. Faith does not consider. Sir, ma'am, who brought you to Joburg? Who brought you here? Because faith does not consider. Faith does not take into account. That means I can start. God can say, go start a ministry in the Arctic. Build a church. There are no people living there. And that church will prosper where there are no people. I said that church will prosper where there are no people. This is what we're talking about. But now we see everyone coming to Joburg. Leaving the villages, leaving those places, they all run into Joburg. That's not faith. There's no God like that. People are descending from other countries of Africa into South Africa, into Johannesburg, into Cape Town, into the big cities. There's no God like that. God will make you prosperous in Namibia as much as it would make you prosperous in South Africa. This is what we're talking about. Listen, Abraham had this promise. This man was living in the desert. What is there in the desert? He became extremely prosperous living in the desert. People have run into Johannesburg and they're even poorer in Johannesburg than they were in their villages. Faith does not consider, does not take into account human or natural circumstances. Faith does not take into account our weaknesses. Faith does not take into account our limitations. Listen, we all have naturally, physically, humanly, we all have limitations. We all have weaknesses. That's why, friends, we've got faith. That does not consider. And why is that? Because faith is supernatural. I say faith is supernatural. You see, the supernatural does not take into account how the natural looks like. Whether it's possible or not possible. Whether it can be done or not be done. That is why without faith, there's no supernatural. Tell your neighbor, please. Without, there is no. It does not exist. Matthew 17, verses 19 to 20. Matthew 17, 19 to 20. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and they said to him, I'm deliberately repeating the scriptures we read last Sunday. Deliberately. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and they said to him, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Faith is supernatural. Without faith, there is no supernatural. So this is what he was trying to tell them. He says, you couldn't do it because of your unbelief. If you believed, faith is supernatural. And faith does the supernatural. Without faith, no one can wear the supernatural. Am I talking to somebody? To deliver someone, it requires for demons to obey you. For healing to take place. They say, Lord, why could we not do it? This is an epileptic boy. The father came and he asked us to help him. We tried to help him, but it did not happen. Now it tells them, you lacked the supernatural ingredient. To work the supernatural. Faith. Says you couldn't do it because of your unbelief. Healing is the will of God. Casting out of devils is the will of God. So if something is the will of God and we are not able to do it, or we are not able to attain it, what is the problem? We lack the ingredient, the supernatural ingredient for it. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible for you. What is it telling them? It takes faith to do the impossible. That's what it's telling them. It takes what?
Faith.
To do?
Faith.
It takes what?
Faith.
To do?
Faith.
And faith is supernatural. Supernatural. That means there is nothing that is natural that will not be able to respond to your command. To the command of the child of God. I say to the command of the child of God. Tell your neighbor, say, faith does not consider your natural, your human, physical situations, circumstances, weaknesses, limitations, which we all have, but faith does not consider. Yeah, listen to me. Faith does not consider how deep you are in debt. I say faith does not consider the fact that you are deep in debt is no reason for you not to believe God. Is no reason for you to doubt God. Does not take into account the fact that you have a record as a convict. Not faith. I say not faith. Not the biblical faith. What is a criminal record compared to Abraham? Compared to Sarah? And they never failed. Because faith never fails. I say they never failed. They never failed. Because faith never fails. Are we together, church? Verse number 20 is very interesting. It says it did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Waver like a wave. A wave comes and goes. You know, the ebbs and the flows. That's doubt. He did not waver. He did not doubt. Please understand that. Not that at some stages there was a little amount of doubt. No, he did not doubt. That's what the word of God says. He did not waver, right? At the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. This man did not waver between faith and unbelief. It didn't. Why is this important? And we'll see with other scriptures why this is so important. That means if he wavered, if he staggered, if he wobbled at the promise through unbelief, there would have been no Isaac whatsoever. And Isaac was but the gateway to all the grand promises of God that we are products of and we are still enjoying to this day. He did not waver. Why are things not working for us? Because we doubt. We waver. Sometimes we are strong in faith. Sometimes we're right at the bottom of unbelief. Am I talking to believers? Please, let's be honest with one another. Sometimes, some days we are very strong in faith concerning what we believe in God for. Some days we're right at the bottom with the rest of them. That is dangerous because that hinders faith from operating and nothing will come of it. No, no, you can't say no by grace. No, by doubt it won't happen. And no, no, grace is okay, no problem. You can't say by grace, I'm doubting, but by grace. Where do we find that in scripture? Okay, your doubt and your grace, what has it brought you? You can't doubt and say by grace. Point number five, we're at number five now, right? Faith does not doubt. Please, faith does not doubt. Not sometimes it doubts. Faith does not. Abraham did not waver, did not stagger, did not wobble. And please, let's sort this one out very quickly. Sarah doubted, not Abraham. I say Sarah doubted, not Abraham. Yes. It's Sarah who convinced Abraham. Sarah wanted a baby so bad. Please understand, faith does not doubt. Don't edit it. Don't edit Bible. The Bible says Abraham did not waver. We need to understand that. He didn't. James 1, 6 to 8. James 1, 6 to 8. Now he says, the person who asks or the person who prays, let the person ask in faith or pray in faith with no doubting. Please underline with no doubting. Now this, before we go any further, this is the reason why a lot of Christians, their prayers are not answered, because there is doubting in it. He says, let him who ask without doubting, with no doubting at all. Please, these things are spiritual. These things are spiritual. When you say, I've been believing God, I've been praying for this and for that, and this and that has never come to pass. But do you understand what the Bible says? Let him ask without doubting. Now listen to what he says. Now he continues, he says, for he who doubts is like a wave. You see, wave, he wavers. Abraham did not waver, did not vacillate, right? For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now, for let not that person suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Where there is doubt, there's no answer. Where there is doubt, there's no miracle. Where there is doubt, there's no breakthrough. I say, where there is doubt, there is no answer. Where there is doubt, there's no breakthrough. Where there is doubt, there's no miracle. Please forget about it. The thing that causes the supernatural to come is faith, because faith is supernatural. So without that which causes the supernatural, there will be no supernatural. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. To waver is to be unstable. The wave is unstable. A doubter is unstable. It says, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now, this is why that verse 20 says he did not waver. Through unbelief, he did not waver. He didn't. This is the secret for answered prayer. This is the secret to work the supernatural, the miraculous in our own lives. This is the secret right here. Did not waver. Did not doubt. Are we still together? Matthew 14, 28 to 31. I know you are very quiet right now, but I'm speaking to 99.9 of you today. The one moment you believe, the one moment you don't believe. The one moment you're on fire for God to believe that God is going to do this, you declare and you demand and you confess. The next moment you are down and out. In church, yes, caterpillar. You leave the church, you're crouching on the ground. Finished. So what happens? You come to church, you're fired up, you go, you die. You come to church, fired up, you go, you die. Let me tell you something. Nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. Nothing. Like really, nothing is happening here. Under the unction, it could be sometimes maybe you receive a word, maybe through a person, maybe God speaks to you directly, and you're very happy. You know, you jump through the roof. But when you go, like the doctor was saying in the morning, what you say with your own mouth, it's contrary to what God has said. Now you say Christianity does not work. No. You are a person without understanding and knowledge of Christianity. Nothing works. Let not that man, please, that verse number 7, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Doubt. Doubting. Nothing works. We are wavering. Nothing works. We believe, then we don't believe. We believe, then we don't. Nothing is. We believe, then we nullify. We believe and we nullify. We believe and we nullify. So nothing is happening there. Matthew 14, 28 to 31. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, Peter, come. Right? Faith is based on the spoken word. What God has said, faith is based on the word of God. Faith is based on the promise. And the word of God in this instance, it said to Peter, come. So he said to him, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter walked on the water going to Jesus. Peter walked on the water. Why? Because he believed the word spoken by Jesus. Remember, there was a time when Peter had fished all night with his friends. And Jesus had come and said, cast into the deep. Then Peter says, Lord, nothing will come of this. We don't fool yourself, don't embarrass yourself in front of all these people. We were here the whole night. Right? And I love it, because in that scripture, there is no account of Jesus responding to Peter. He spoke once. And I think Peter said, okay, this man is quiet, he's very serious. Then he says, nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. Right? And you know what happened, right? They caught a great draft of fish. Now, when Peter says, Lord, if it's you, he remembers that time when he said, Lord, nevertheless, at your word, and he knows what happened. Now he says, if it is you, now he's testing him. If truly it's Jesus, if it is you, Lord, command me to walk on the water. Command me to come. Now, here's the thing. If the word had not been given, the man would have drowned instantly. Now, you see, Biblical faith is based on the word, not on what you desire, not on what you think. Biblical faith is based on what God has said. The word said to Peter, come. And the Bible says it clearly. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Period. Unchangeable. The man walked on the water. A man other than Jesus. Peter, this is a second man other than Jesus who walked on the water. Glory to God. Why Christians of today, when they try to walk on the water, they drown? Why pastors and the prophets of today, when they try to walk on the water, they drown? Because they are not understanding the scriptures. Peter said, if it is you, command me to come. Now these ones, they walk on the water without any command. I say, let's leave it. People who butcher scriptures. But when Peter, the man who walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when Peter saw that the wind was boisterous, when he saw, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out. Why did he sink? Remember, faith does not consider. Peter began to consider. But remember, Abraham, it says, he did not consider. Why? Because faith does not consider. It is the same thing with us. We believe God until the time we're receiving summons. We believe God until we receive summons. We believe God until we receive eviction letter. We believe God until we receive a termination letter from our place of employment. What happens there? We consider. We consider the circumstances. We consider what is happening around us. You see, that is not biblical faith. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs, if you fail in the day of adversity, your strength is small, your faith is tiny. If you fail on the day of adversity, when you should, now this is when your faith is tested. They say, okay, please be at your address. We are coming at 11 to repossess the car. You say, come, I'll be home. Your unbelief, they take the vehicle. That's true. If God has not told you to allow them to come and take the vehicle, why are you saying, I'll be at home waiting for you and the gate will be opened? Your choice. They say, we are coming we're sending people to come and do valuation of the property. Please open the gate. They are coming at 12 o'clock. You say, yeah, at 12 o'clock, I'll make sure I'm there. Please let them come. What? What did the Lord say? You know, we speak of the faith of Abraham very lightly. Very lightly. But this right here is the game changer. I say, this right here is the game changer. I say, this right here is the game changer. In the day of adversity, that's when you expect a miracle. When they say we're coming to take, that's when you dig your heels in. Your Prada. You dig your Prada in. You say, no, God has not said it. Hey, listen to me. King Hezekiah, we spoke about this last Sunday. The man who faced the wall. When they say we're coming to repossess, which wall have you faced? Which wall have you faced? Which wall have you faced? You missed an awesome opportunity to see God working. You miss an opportunity to glorify the Lord. Because when God appears on the scene, God is glorified. Why did you not face the wall? Why did you not go and lock yourself up and say, Father, If you be God in heaven, and if I be your son on earth, now is the time, O Lord, for you to show yourself. No, we don't do that. We cooperate. We cooperate with a report that does not come from the Lord. What do? We cooperate with a report that doesn't come from God. This is a man. You are told, put your house in order. Make sure you do your will. It's nice and updated. Because we are dying, we are not recovering. That's the report. This man says, this is not the report I want to hear. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to do what I know best. There is a God in Israel. This is King Hezekiah, the king of Judah. There is a God of Judah. If there is a God of Judah, Father, would you not remember me in this hour of need? Would you? Hey, church, you Christians, in your hour of need, do you even cry out to God? You don't? Because you are people of super grace. Your hour of need. When this is the hour you should... Now listen. Daniel, he prayed 3 times as much when he was put under pressure. When pressure is heaped on you, what do? Pressure was heaped on the man. He prayed 3 times as much. Why? Daniel was seriously under pressure. The king was going to kill him. That was unchangeable. He knew it. That's why he prayed 3 times. He was desperate. Killing him, they were going to kill him. He knew that. He knew that. Unless God intervened, he knew that. What is not working in your life unless God intervenes? If you know that, why up to now even done nothing? What have you done? In this same book of James says, faith without works, without corresponding actions is dead. What are the corresponding actions of faith that you have done to show that you believe? To say, I believe God, I'm going to do this. Why are we losing things left, right, and center and we do nothing about it? I say, why are we losing things left, right, and center and we do nothing about it? Why we believe in God, but what we believe in God for, it doesn't seem to come and we do nothing about it. That's why on the 1st of April, we want to expedite, we want to precipitate the promises. It's our step of faith to say, we're not going to sleep. We're going to sacrifice the sleep. That's faith. We're going to sacrifice the sleep. Faith works. And works all the time. I say faith works. And works all the time. And now the Lord Jesus said to Peter, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out saying, this is about 3 a.m. in the morning. And you are stranded on sea. So you must really understand what was happening here. There are no floodlights there. At the sea, it's not Johannesburg. There are no lights there. It's not a city. It's pitch dark. It's pitch black. You can hardly see anything there. And somebody comes and walking on the water. And since we were born, you've never heard of anyone walking on water. Oh, come on, someone. Now Peter was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. What is happening here? It says beginning to and beginning to sink. Why was he sinking? Why did he sink? The man was walking. Was the end of what? Doubt. Doubt set in. Doubt set in. Now, listen to this, children of God. The moment, immediately, that the doubt set in, he sank. It's the same thing when you believe in God for something. The moment that doubt comes in, it nullifies everything we're believing for. This is the reason why it says, the man who doubts, Let that man not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, because this man is unstable. He is double-minded. He is two minds about it. Can I try to say this again? With a little bit less of hype. Peter walked on the water, responding to the command of Jesus. At exactly the moment that he began to doubt, it is exactly the moment that he began to sink. You believe in God. You believe in God. It's great. You believe in God and you're feeling strong. But the moment that doubt hits is the moment that you have bought everything. This is the reason why the Bible says Abraham did not waver. He did not stagger. He did not wobble through unbelief at the promise. At the promise. At the promise. This doubt thing is very dangerous. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught him. And the Lord said to Peter, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" The Lord is saying the same thing. He's saying, you've been accusing me. You're accusing me of things. You say, I've not done this. I've not done that for you. You're accusing me. You're saying to me, Lord, you say in your word, but I am not experiencing this. The Lord says, you are accusing me. And there's nothing wrong that I have done. But you are doubting all the time. Faith is a principle. Faith works all the time. Faith is a principle. It works all the time. That means it's got nothing to do with God. God has set it in motion eternally. You can believe God at any time you want to. Faith is a principle. God has set it in motion eternally. It works all the time. That is why no one can justifiably go to God and say, Lord, your word says 1, 2, 3, and 4, but why is it that I'm not experiencing 1, 2, 3, and 4? It's got nothing to do with God. Faith is a principle that works all the time. What is faith? Faith is supernatural. And without faith, there's no supernatural. Because it's faith that brings the supernatural about. The disciple says, Lord, why could we not do it? He says, because of your unbelief. Your unbelief. That's why you could not do the supernatural. Are we still together? Yes. Tell your neighbor, say, how faith operates. This is how. Again, we read Matthew 21, 19 to 21 last Sunday. Matthew 21, 19 to 21. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, Lord, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt. If you have what? Please and do not doubt. Doubt nullifies your faith instantly. Write it down, please. Doubt nullifies your faith instantly. That quick. Where do we see this? In the example of Peter. The moment he began to doubt is the moment he began to sink. James says, let him who ask, ask in faith with no doubting. Because the man who doubts, let him not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Because a man who doubts is like a wave driven and tossed to and fro by the wind. And he says, That man is double-minded, is two minds, and is unstable. What scares me in that part is this, is unstable in all his ways. A person who doubts is unstable in all his ways. Cannot be trusted by God to do anything. Cannot and can never be trusted by God to do anything. The person that doubts. Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt. If you have faith and do not doubt. Here's the thing. It tells you something here. There's only white and black in spirit. There's no gray. Either you believe or you don't. Now, doubt is in the middle. You see? The spirit does not have gray. But doubts brings the gray. That's why nothing happens. And it cannot happen. If you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree. Jesus cursed the fig tree. It withered from its roots because Jesus believed and Jesus did not doubt. Jesus believed. What did he believe? That what he said, it will be done. He did not doubt. Mark 11, 23. He believed that what he said would happen and did not doubt. Now. Do you believe? Some of us, we say, we confess our confessions of faith. But is it really a confession of faith? Do we really believe what we're saying? Believe and do not doubt. That's why there are confessions galore. People are confessing faith, are confessing the word, are confessing this, but when that word is challenged, they begin to doubt and they lose it. When that word is challenged, the boisterous waves, they came to challenge Peter and failed. He failed. He failed with exemption. Failed. Whatever you say that you are believing, are you really entrenched in your faith? Are you entrenched that no matter what comes, nothing can move you? Are you really entrenched? Is your confession solid enough to withstand trials, tests, temptations, tribulations? Is your confession solid enough? Because if it's of faith, it's immovable. If your confession is of faith, it's unchangeable. If your confession is of faith, it's immovable. Glory to God. If you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. But only if you believe and do not doubt. Don't doubt. A person of faith, when you pray for them, they believe and they receive it, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the feelings. Today you pray for people, after praying for them, they still feel the pain, they nullify the prayer. The faithless generation. Do you not understand that faith does not consider? Faith does not consider the feelings. Faith does not consider the circumstances. Faith does not consider what you're feeling right. Faith does not consider that. No. Doesn't. Glory to God. I say glory to God. If your faith as little as a mustard seed, you can say, you will say to this mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea. It will be done. Why? Because you did not doubt. Not doubting. Not doubting. Abraham did not doubt. Not one bit. Not one inch. A very beautiful illustration is in 1 Kings 18. Beautiful illustration. Of a man. Demonstration of faith without regard to the circumstances. without regard to the report. No regard. No regard. We say we believe, but when our faith is challenged, we change our confession. You change your confession depending on the circumstances. No wonder nothing happens. No wonder nothing happens. Do not understand that faith calls those things that be not as though they were. There's no changing of confession there. The confession of faith does not change. If he says come, he will not change. He said, no, sorry. I made a mistake, so don't come. No, the confession of faith never changes. Never does. Are we together, church? 1 Kings 18:41 to 44. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab, he went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. What was he doing? He was praying. He sat down there. He bowed down on the himself down on the ground, and he put his face between his knees. The man of God was praying. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Now he's praying for the rain to come. Now for the rain to come, according to Elijah, there must be clouds forming. Can you see that? For the rain to come, according to Elijah, there must be clouds forming. According to science, there must be clouds forming. Right? Now he's praying. Now he says to the servant, go up now, look toward the sea. The servant goes and he says, there is nothing. Now, please underline this in your Bible. And 7 times he said, go again. Can you see that? The first time he goes, there is nothing. The man continues to pray. The third time, there is nothing. The man continues to pray. The fifth time, there is nothing. The man continues to pray. Some of us, when we say we are believing God for something, just one time it does not happen, we give up. Just one time. Not even twice. Your faith must happen just one time. You must be deluded. Do you not understand? This is the man of God. He bowed himself down on the ground and began to seek the face of God. Now he was praying. Says, Lord, I believe according to your word. Right now, rain must come. I've just sent the king to go and eat and drink and enjoy himself. Now, Lord, the rain must come, and the rain must come today. First time, nothing. He could have given up. You've got a small headache. I believe in the name of Jesus. It doesn't go, you give up. Man of God, pray for me. I've got a pain. I've got this. I pray for you today. Tomorrow you're at the hospital. It's true. Sadly. But, so we were playing games here. We're playing games here. Why don't you stand on the word? What was that prayer you received? What was it for? Why don't you stand on it? You're believing for a house, one reject, you give up. Believing for the house, first decline, second decline. You say, my God, I'm a man of faith. I'm not going to give up because of decline. You apply again. Third decline, all the banks decline. Fourth time, all the banks decline. Fifth time, all the banks decline. In fact, fifth time, I would buy you a cake. Compared to the generation of today of believers, I'd really give you a cake. They'd go at least up to the third time, they've already given up. The third time is the maximum they've given up. Elijah, if it was going to cause him to be there the whole day, the whole night, he was not going to leave that place. You see, faith is determined. Faith is, he was not going to leave that place. We say we believe God, the God of Elijah. Look how the God of Elijah tested the faith of Elijah. You say you believe the God of Elijah. That's what you tell us. You say, I believe in the God of Elijah. My God is the God of Elijah. Look how the God of Elijah tested Elijah, tested his faith. You've heard it say that God's delay is not God's denial. There's nothing more true than that. It could be God is testing your faith. The first time around, he's not giving it to you. He's testing your faith. God knew what he was going to do for Elijah, but he was testing his resolution. How resolute, how determined, how resolute, how determined, how serious are you about this thing? Do you really believe God? Do you really believe God? This is why our prayers are touch and go. Our prayers. Where I come from, it used to be said, you are saying prayers and not praying prayers. Which is very true. Thank you. They're just saying prayers. There's not determination. Your heart is not even in the prayer. We are just ticking a box. This man was determined to remain there for whatever long it took. He was not leaving, and the Lord knew that. The Lord knew that. Seven times, it says, go back. Men of God, they say no. I say, go back. Men of God, they said no again. I say, go back. How many of you will still go? And you say you are a servant. How many of you will still go? You say you are a servant. This was a servant of Elijah. Men of God, there's nothing gold. Men of God, really. You see, it matters the people that serve you. That will tell them to do something and not question you. This boy did not question Elijah. He did not understand, why must I go and look up in the sky? And I've been going now for 6 times and there is still nothing. This old man has lost his mind. You will not believe God until you lose your mind. As long as you are still sane, you will not believe God. It's the insane people that believe God. It is insanity. Faith is insanity. You have to be insane to live by faith. You'll have to be very insane. You have to be very insane. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. What a passage. And 7 times he said, go again. Go again. In the world, they tell you, no, if they decline you, don't reapply too many times because it negatively affects your profile. Whose report will you believe then? I say, whose report will you believe? And 7 times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the 7th time that he said, the 7th says to Elijah, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. You know that glimmer of hope. Oh, Jesus. You know that glimmer of hope. You know, when you are praying and you're expecting God, there will come that time, if you've ever been there, when there'll be that glimmer of hope. And you hold on to that glimmer of hope for dear life. There will be that glimmer, that shimmer of hope, and you hold on to it. For look, my goodness, I've got my sign. If you've been there, I hear these days they say, if you know, you know. These days I hear people say, if you know, you know. If you know, you know. If you've been there, that glimmer of hope, and you just grab onto it. That's exactly what Elijah did. A cloud. As small as a man's hand. I say cloud, as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea. Listen to what Elijah says. Now, So he said, go up and say to Ahab the king, prepare your chariot, go down before the rain stops you. He only saw a sign, not rain. He only saw a sign, not rain. But he say, run, prepare, get ready, run before the rain stops you. But he didn't see any rain. We're talking about faith here. How faith operates. The biblical faith. The biblical faith cannot fail. But do we really understand it? Do we really understand how it operates? If the man receives a prophecy, the prophecy says, God says, now it's time to no longer speak to the figs. Now it's time to speak to mountains. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you a vehicle. And God says, speak it. And God says, after I give you a vehicle, I'm going to give you a house. And the Lord speaks it. But listen to what God says. The Lord says to the man, speak it. The Lord does not say to the man, go and look for a job. The Lord does not say to the man, go and start business. But the Lord says to the man, speak. The just. You hang on for dear life to that word. Hang on for dear life. The just. Verse 21. The last point. The sixth point. Now it says, Abraham being fully convinced that what he had promised, that what God had promised him, God was able to perform. Underline that little word, convinced. That's conviction. That word is conviction. That's persuasion in the heart. Now, point number six is this. Faith works with a strong conviction in the heart. Can I see that? It's not touch and go. The touch and go is not faith. Faith works with a very strong conviction in the heart. A conviction that cannot be persuaded otherwise. Nothing can persuade a truly convicted person of faith. That conviction is unshakable. It's unchangeable. It's immovable. You cannot convince a person of faith otherwise. Remember, faith is of the heart. Abraham was convinced not in the mind, not in the head, in the heart. There are many times, of course, that his mind was saying things that are contrary to what the man had believed. But because he had such a conviction, the conviction of faith in the heart is unshakable. The conviction of faith in the heart is unchangeable. The conviction of faith in the heart is immovable. You cannot persuade a man or a woman of faith otherwise. Once they've believed, you can't persuade them otherwise. That's why the Bible says he was fully convinced. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Was fully convinced. Fully convinced. Not even Sarah could convince him otherwise. Not even Sarah. There was nothing that could convince this man otherwise. He had believed what God had said to him and he waited for it. And from the time that he received the promise of Isaac until the birth of Isaac, that was 25 years. He lived with the promise of God unshakable for 25 years. Some of us, God says a word, he promises you something. If you believe for 3 months, I would drink to that. Truly, 3 months. Because otherwise you throw it out. It hasn't happened. 25 years. Waiting on the promise. Waiting on the promise. A person of faith is not moved by circumstances. In this case, including time. Does not matter how long it takes. A person of faith, it does not matter. Once they are convinced, they are convinced. Glory to God. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Now Paul says, I am persuaded. Tell your neighbor, say, I am persuaded. Now listen, the person who talks like this, the person who speaks like this, they are truly, this is their personal confession. Their personal confession. It says, I am persuaded. I cannot be changed. I cannot be convinced otherwise. Now here's the thing. Is that how you are when it comes to the word of God? You can't be convinced otherwise. You're persuaded. That's why nothing and nobody could convince Abraham. Because when God promised him, no one was there. It was only Abraham and God. Now we are talking about the faith that pleases God. Oh, come on, someone. I said we're talking about the faith that pleases God. Let's clap hands for him today.